Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, March the 31st, and it's time for our State Capitol Report, our weekly roundup of state political news. Tomorrow is Wisconsin's spring election, and we will hear this hour from the state Supreme Court candidates' last debate as Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson gives us a recap of that debate on Friday night, broadcast here on the Ideas Network and Wisconsin Public Television. Plus, we'll get an update on the state budget repair bill and news of state legislators pursuing other careers or pursuits or retiring and what all that means. And you can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
So let's start with the state Senate passing its version of the state budget repair bill last week.
Yeah, I mean, if you just listen to what happened in the Senate last week when they were debating the budget, you might tend to think that this is going to be a long, drawn-out budget battle. But comments later in the week by Speaker Mike Hipsch in the, from the Assembly sort of led people to believe that we might be done with this pretty quickly. But just to kind of recap and, start with the Senate, the Democrats who controlled the Senate passed their version of the budget, and it's sort of its hallmarks are that it cuts less than either the version developed by the governor or the Assembly Republicans. But the way it does that is not only does it use the governor's tax on hospitals and Assembly Republicans' accounting trick when it comes to delaying a school aid payment, but it also has this, it collects more in taxes from corporations by closing what Senate Democrats call a tax loophole on multi-state corporations and what Republicans call a tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Minority Leader Scott Fitzgerald ripping the plan basically on the Senate floors, to be expected. He said that when you're facing tough budget times, as the state of Wisconsin is right now, you should be looking to cut and not increase spending.
What this body is going to do today, what the majority party is going to do, is say, let's find ways of spending our way out of this. It just flies in the face of common sense.
And Democrat Julie Lassa was one of those who stood up in defense of Democrats' budget, and she said, look, if you want to cut, you should say where you want to cut, because the Assembly Republican budget, while it did call for roughly, you know, $400 million in new cuts, it didn't spell out where those were. It just said, you know, Governor Doyle, you make the cuts.
If you want to cut and don't have an amendment for it, why don't you get up and say what you want to cut? Where do you think we should cut? Should it be education, senior care? Should it be the university or K through 12? It is really frustrating to sit here and to have to put together in this legislature, in the Senate, a budget repair bill when all you talk about is cutting, but you don't provide any answers.
Sorry, I jumped the gun on that.
No, so. my mistake there. At that point, it sort of sounded like this is going to go on for a while. We might have a conference committee like we did last summer on that budget that was 4 months late. But then in an interview this week on Wisconsin Eye, Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch was asked whether he thought this budget negotiations would drag on days, weeks, or months, and his answer was days.
The talks that we have are very productive. They're very they're substantive, and I am encouraged by the discussion that we've had and the willingness to work, you know, amongst all of us, and recognition that we all have to give up something. We all have to, you know, none of us are truly going to like the final plan, but that there is a recognition that we've got to do it sooner rather than later.
So what do you think the final plan is going to look like, Sean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, nobody's talking about it because, I mean, the speaker said that if you start to talk about it, the deal can blow up rather quickly. So I'm not sure what combination of, I mean, they're going to have to use a combination of something from the governor, something from Senate Democrats, and something from Assembly Republicans if they want to get something to pass both chambers and get the governor's approval. I don't know what that combination is going to be at this point, but Yeah, it sounds like we're going to find out soon.
All right, well, maybe we'll have an update in the next Capitol report. Also, last week I heard that State Representative Jim Cruiser, is it, was going to run for Kenosha County Executive and possibly, if he wins, give up his state seat.
Yeah, and that's significant because he's the minority leader for Assembly Democrats right now. And after the last election, when they picked up so many seats, he's in a really good position right now, if he were to hang around, to potentially, if the Democrats could pick up more seats in the Assembly this election, he could potentially be the next speaker. It's been a while since there's been a Democratic speaker in the state assembly, and so it's a highly coveted job, certainly. So his announcement that he's going to pursue this Kenosha County executive job is going to open up a leadership fight there. And you've already heard talk of a few lawmakers sort of throwing their names in as potential candidates and trying to round up support. At this point, Madison Democrat Mark Pocan is going to sort of head up the Assembly Democrats campaign efforts this year. He's not going to seek the speaker's job or the minority leader's job. So he's going to try to be this neutral referee and guide them through campaign season.
Is anyone reading anything into Cruiser's decision that somehow maybe Democrats won't take control of the assembly and that's why he's leaving?
Yeah, I saw a Republican consultant, you know, read into it in that way. Democrats aren't going to read into it that way, of course. It's... You know, everything that I hear about Jim Cruiser is that he's got pretty strong ties to Kenosha. And so if there's this, you know, if they want him back home, I suppose that may have been a factor in his decision. It's probably a better job as far as pay and benefits, too. So,
yeah. Now, we have to check whether in really less than a minute, but he's not the only state legislator who's seeking other pursuits.
Yeah, we've got several lawmakers who decided to retire or you know, do something else after this session. Longtime State Senator Carol Ressler has decided she's not going to seek re-election to her seat. State Representative Steve Wickert, someone else who's been around the building quite a while, a Republican from Appleton, is not going to seek re-election this year. His seat's probably going to be, you know, pretty hotly contested without an incumbent there, and Carol Ressler's seat's probably going to be fiercely battled over as well.
Yeah, both, and Ressler's a Republican as well.
Right, she's a Republican as well from Oshkosh.
Yeah. Well, we will check weather, and then we will turn our sights on the state Supreme Court race. There was a debate on Friday night, and Sean has a recap of that for us after the weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, March the 31st. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, is with us for this segment of the State Capitol Report, getting us up to date on state politics, including, Sean, on Friday night, the last debate, a broadcast, statewide broadcast debate between the two candidates running for state Supreme Court justice. The We the People Wisconsin debate, which people may have heard on Wisconsin Public Radio or watched on Wisconsin Public Radio if they weren't watching the Badgers, right?
Yeah, it was up against some stiff competition in terms of TV viewership anyway.
Yeah. So I saw headlines for that debate, bitter debate. Is that what it was?
You know, I don't think it's as far as it goes between the two candidates, and this is just, you know, personal observation, it doesn't seem as bitter to me as it did between the two candidates for last year's race.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly going to be just as expensive, and the ads are probably, you know, just as negative, if not more negative. But as far as between the candidates, I don't know. It's a judgment call there. You'd have to decide for yourself. But they did, the format for the We the People debate does allow them to sort of argue at times, and that's what you heard between Justice Butler and Judge Gableman in this debate. And I've got a few clips here, including one that I think is sort of, you know, a decent example of what happened on Friday night. It was from the opening question, where the person asking the question was asking about you know, these third party ads, and would you repudiate them? And so this is sort of the exchange between Judge Gableman first and then Justice Butler.
The people have a right to know exactly what's been happening and exactly what their choice is in this race. They have a choice between me, a judicial conservative, and my opponent, a judicial activist.
Well, there you go again. Once again, you don't answer the question that was put to you about calling for the negative ask to be pulled aside. You instead go back to pattern lines that you have been maintaining throughout the entire campaign, and you once again issuing these ridiculous charges that are not borne by the facts and that are not supported by any evidence out there.
Let me also invite listeners to call in if you have reactions to this race for state Supreme Court justice. Maybe you saw the debate yourself on Friday night or one of the repeats that occurred over the weekend. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Tomorrow is Election Day in Wisconsin, and one of the issues that we will vote on tomorrow is that race between Justice Lewis Butler, who is the incumbent on the state Supreme Court, appointed to the court in 2004 by Governor Doyle. He is being challenged by Judge Michael Gableman, a Burnett County Circuit Court judge. And the two debated on Friday night for the last time before the election. And Sean Johnson was at that debate and is giving us a recap of what was said. Sean, let me bring in a caller. George in Milwaukee joins us. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I do think that Judge Gableman and his supporters have completely mischaracterized Lewis Butler's tenure on the court and his rather long legal career. And I think one of the proofs of that is that Butler is being supported by the Milwaukee Police Association, which is perhaps one of the most conservative in terms of law enforcement organizations in the state. And I think that by itself would be enough for people to say, this very conservative law enforcement organization is supporting Butler. I guess he can't be too soft on crime.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much, George. Talk some, Sean, about the various endorsements and such of the candidates in this debate.
When it comes to law enforcement, and this is, Judge Gableman has tried to come across as this tough on crime judge, and a friend of law enforcement, works shoulder in shoulder with law enforcement. I think I'm getting familiar with some of his talking points at this point. He's endorsed by a majority of sheriffs in the state and a majority of district attorneys. Lewis Butler has the endorsements of not only the Milwaukee Police Association, but the statewide group that represents rank-and-file police officers. So as far as the number of people who those groups represent, Lewis Butler has, thousands of, officers supporting him, if you assume that they all follow the umbrella of their leadership when it comes to endorsements. We've talked about this before, but only about a quarter of all the cases that go before the state Supreme Court are criminal in nature. It's mostly civil cases, and you're never deciding sentencing. I mean, it's not a place where you go to be tough on crime, really. But that's been the tone of this campaign. That's what all the ads focus on, and so it's... it's what the candidates have ended up talking about at points, too.
Yeah. And let's go to Geraldine in Viroqua next. Hi, Geraldine. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say I did watch that debate, and I don't think no matter how much Gableman has talked about his abilities, I wouldn't vote for him. I think he was mean-spirited. He danced around every question that was put to him. And I would like somebody that's going to judge anybody that comes before the courts on the merits of instead of how tough he is on crime.
All right. Thanks very much, Geraldine. Well, Geraldine and actually George in Milwaukee, too, both thought that Gableman was not answering the question put to him at the debate. And apparently Justice Butler said the same thing in that last clip we played.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know how you disagree with that, really. There were times where Judge Gableman was asked, really a specific question about, how would you help poor people get access to the court services, things like that. And he would find a way to turn his answers around to, a judge that'll give law enforcement a fair shake, endorsed by sheriffs, judicial conservative, apply the plain language of the law. I mean, he hits those talking points very, very religiously and often. Yeah.
And let me get it straight. Somebody asked, will you, whatever, repudiate these third-party ads that are running on your behalf? And he didn't answer that question. He didn't specifically repudiate them or whatever the question was?
I've heard him in the debate that you and I moderated. He said people would be better off to just turn off their televisions and read about the candidates, find out about the candidates. I don't know if it's going to matter. I don't think these third party groups are going to listen at this point if either candidates tell them to stop running. It's quite an arms race out there right now.
So what else happened at the debate? Anything of note?
They talked about loopholes. I mean, that was an issue that came up. They did talk about the lead paint case a bit. That was a case where Judge Gableman and others feel like a decision written by Lewis Butler, which the majority of the court was on board with, opened up the state to lead paint lawsuits. And that's another area where Judge Gableman said that, as a judicial conservative, that's something he wouldn't do.
As a judicial conservative, I won't look for ways to expand the fertile fields of litigation and create new causes of action against the innocent, as my opponent did when he authored the case of Thomas v. Mallett, the lead paint case, where now, thanks to that decision, Wisconsin is the only state in the union to allow the innocent to be dragged into court to be held accountable for something they may not have only had nothing to do with, but might not have even been in existence at the time the harmful condition was created.
And then here was Justice Butler's response to that immediately.
You indicate that you want that you're a judicial conservative that would give a fair application to the plain language of the law. So I think we should explore the ad that you have run, because you had a unanimous Court of Appeals and you had a unanimous Supreme Court indicate in the very case that you run in your ad that there was error at the trial court level and that the evidence that was proffered should not have been admitted. Now, if you're going to give a fair application to the plain language of the law, and if you want to be a judicial conservative, then instead of decrying the rulings of the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, you ought to repudiate your own ad, and you ought to say, well, I'm here to follow the law. And you're either going to follow the law or you're not, and you can't pick and choose when you're going to follow it.
Wow. Well, Sean, we only have about a minute or so to go. Any talk as to how this race is going to turn out?
I don't know. I mean, this is one where we haven't seen polls like we did in the last race, where we knew early on that now Justice Ziegler had a pretty strong lead after a primary over Linda Clifford. And that's how the race shaped up. I haven't seen polls in this race, so it's sort of scratching your head as to what's going to happen.
Except voter turnout predictions are low, as for spring.
20%, which is what they were in the last two contested Supreme Court races, too.
Yeah, one other in our last 30 seconds. There's also a proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot tomorrow.
Right. Mm-hmm. this is a big deal that would scale back the governor's veto power, make it harder for him to veto budget bills to his liking and basically rewrite them, rearranging numbers and words into new sentences. That's something where nobody's campaigned for it, but unless you count the editorial pages that are strongly in favor of getting rid of that power.
We'll talk with you next week about the results of the election. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Thanks,
all right.
Joy.
Thanks a lot. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Monday, March the 31st. We will continue to look at the race for state Supreme Court in this segment of the State Capitol Report, but with a guest who says this race has been the nastiest in recent memory, and that's saying something, and it could even end up being the most expensive in state history. And we'll wonder why that matters. Jay Heck says it matters a lot, and it's time to demand campaign finance reform. So will that really help, or what other changes might be needed in the way we select Supreme Court judges? 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Jay Heck is Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, and he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
So did I read that you called this latest race for a state Supreme Court despicable or something along those lines?
Well, that would be one of the terms I may have used. There's several ways to describe this. I think probably if you ask, 100 people on the street that have some knowledge about this Supreme Court race, what they thought of it, I think most of them would be pretty revolted and would come up with similar adjectives. This has been, at least in my 20-some years in Wisconsin politics, really the most demoralizing, negative, mean-spirited, nasty campaign. And I'm not talking about just for the state Supreme Court. I'm talking about for any public office, mm-hmm. State office that I've ever seen in the state. And, as you well know, this is an amazingly negative campaign. It's being fought over the airwaves by a lot of outside groups, many of which we don't know who or where the money's coming from, who's funding these outside ads. And this is for a state Supreme Court race, and the state Supreme Court, unlike the office of governor, state senator, attorney general, is distinctly not a political office. It's an office that is occupied by someone who's supposed to be making decisions based on issues impartially and without regard to political pressure. And of course, this race is just all about issues that have very little to do with the state Supreme Court. It's been cast as a law and order campaign, and I just think on every level, it's been a yeah. thoroughly nauseating experience for most people yeah. who have had to endure it.
Help us understand, why is it that we don't know who's putting the money behind these independent or third-party ads?
Well, that's really the heart of the matter, mm-hmm. and something that the brand-new Government Accountability Board now is going to consider. In Wisconsin, we have, for the last 12 years, a phenomenon that has been increasing with each election, and what it involves are widely disseminated communications, usually television, radio commercials, that can be broadcast by outside groups. And because of a rather large loophole in Wisconsin's campaign finance law, these groups are not required by law to tell voters where the money's coming from. These are what we call issue ads, or what I actually call phony issue ads. Mm-hmm. And we've discussed this many times over the last decade, Joy. Really what these are campaign communications masquerading as issue advocacy, because they do not use a few what we call magic words that say, like, vote for, vote against, defeat, support. But instead, the types of ads, many that you're seeing in the state Supreme Court race, where an ad will run accusing one of the candidates as being Loophole Louie, mm-hmm. soft on crime, or on the other side, unfit for office, not able to understand the law, whatever. But as long as they don't use these specific magic words, because of this failure by the part of the legislature or the old elections board to address this issue, millions and millions of dollars of really campaign ads are being run without either regulation from where the money comes from or being forced to disclose it. So that's what we call phony issue ads. And as we've seen in this latest election, there are at least four organizations, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, something called the Greater Wisconsin Committee, another group called, there's so many of them, it's hard, and they change their names over and over. It's hard to keep track
Growth
of them.
Growth for Wisconsin.
The Club for Growth, mm-hmm. and then finally the Coalition for American Families. These groups have spent, probably $2 million, we don't know, running these nasty ads by and large, or ads in support of their candidate, and we have no idea where the money's coming from, and the money is by and large unregulated. So that's what we're talking about, and of course we've seen those in gubernatorial elections and legislative races. And the whole point is that other states, and even at the federal level, the Congress or legislatures in other states have had the political will to force the regulation and disclosure of these types of communications. They're regulated as campaign ads, just as the ads that are run by candidates are. And but in Wisconsin, there has been resistance to this from some very powerful special interest groups that have been able to keep the legislature or the old state elections board from doing something to address this problem. But fortunately, last Wednesday, mm-hmm. the brand new Government Accountability Board, which is the old state elections and state ethics board combined, and instead of political appointments, it consists of six retired judges. They heard very compelling testimony from some experts and voted to look into forcing the disclosure and regulation of the very types of these nasty campaign communications that have been inundating our airwaves. And if they're successful and if this goes forward and they're able to promulgate an administrative rule, and if that administrative rule can weave its way through the committees in the legislature and survive a vote, then we could have in Wisconsin a system in place where the types of ads that a lot of people are seeing would be subject to disclosure. We would know who's paying for them, and in some cases, the money would have to be regulated. And my guess is that we probably would see a different type of ad in the future rather than these. See, one of the reasons why it's so easy to run these negative ads is because nobody knows who pays for them, and so mm-hmm. they say almost anything. If names are attached to the payment of these ads, then groups might say, well, maybe we're not going to say that kind of stuff. Maybe we're going to do something else.
Yeah, and so you would be all for that kind of change in terms of regulating these phony issue ads. But what else? What else, especially when it comes to Supreme Court races, do you think is needed?
Well, and one of the problems, too, is that the races for the state Supreme Court have become spending frenzies, not only on the part of these outside special interest groups, but the candidates themselves their campaigns are forced to put the tin cup out and raise, thousands of dollars, maybe millions in this particular election, but certainly hundreds of thousands, from the very groups, the very people that sometimes come before the court to make the case, the attorneys, the business groups, labor unions, all the rest. And so, I think what makes most sense, and I think what a lot of people are for, and then there are some people who say we should ditch elections altogether and go to an appointment process. But I think probably the best thing we could do is do what the state of North Carolina has done over the last 4 years, and that is to provide clean money, money that's not attached to people who are going to appear before the court, public financing, 100% public funding for candidates who agreed to abide by spending limits. And in Wisconsin, the spending limits would be about $400,000 per candidate. If you agree to abide by $400,000 spending limit, you would receive all of that money from the public, and you would not have to spend any time raising money. You would spend all of your time traveling around the state of Wisconsin discussing your qualifications for the office. And that has worked magnificently in the state of North Carolina, not just at the state Supreme Court level, but at the next level, at the appellate level. And by all accounts, people say that the types of justice, the judicial decisions being made by judges elected under that system, are much fairer, much more impartial, and have really freed the judiciary from these sort of political pressures. And you don't see the types of nasty ads that you see in Wisconsin and some other states.
I've got to jump in because we have a weather break to take, and then we'll continue talking with Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin, talking about this current race for state Supreme Court justice and what issues it raises in terms of campaign finance reform. And we wonder what you think. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Should Wisconsin be stricter in regulating these ads from third-party groups, the so-called issue ads that we have been seeing a lot of during this race for state Supreme Court justice? What else needs to be done? 100% public financing of state Supreme Court races. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, we welcome in the author of a piece in Harper's Magazine, "The Revolution Will Not Be Pasteurized," about the raw milk movement. That's coming up. Right now, we're talking with Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin. Jay is giving us his thoughts about the race for state Supreme Court justice. The election is tomorrow. The winner will serve 10 years. It pits the incumbent justice, Lewis Butler, appointed to the High Court in 2004 by Governor Doyle, against the challenger, Burnett County Circuit Court Judge Mike Gabelman. And it is a race that has been highlighted or low-lighted, marred, some will say, by a spate of ads from outside interest groups trying to influence the race. We're talking about what can be done about those third-party ads, talking about what else Jay Heck thinks should be done to improve our elections of Supreme Court justices in particular. And we welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Stephen Madison is with us. Hi, Steve.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you. And thanks to your guest, Jay, with along with Common Cause, for all the great work they do to expose these deficiencies in our democracy.
Thank you.
Jay partially answered my question about why this is happening. He mentioned the special interest that want to maintain the system. But when we were so close to passing this impartial justice bill earlier this year, when not passing it would yield the result we have, I'm wondering if Jay could go into a little bit of detail about what kind of contributions those special interests are making and to which legislators that keep the status quo.
Sure. Well, thank you, Steve. And the impartial justice bill has been around for a long time. The other campaign finance reform measures that we've been pushing, the Ellis-Erpenbach bill, for instance, it's been around since 1999. And what happens is that there's support, and usually majority support, for both of these pieces of legislation, but it's got to get, obviously, through both houses of the legislature. And recently, just last month in February, the impartial justice bill, the public funding bill, passed overwhelmingly in the state Senate, had strong Republican as well as unanimous Democratic support for it. But it never got even a public hearing in the state assembly. It's being bottled up by the leadership, the Republican leadership in the state assembly. Their allies are primarily Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which hates all campaign finance reform and, not coincidentally, is spending hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of dollars of undisclosed, unregulated issue ad money. We have no idea who the donors are to the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Issues Mobilization Committee. Other opponents would be Wisconsin Right to Life. Right to Life hates campaign finance reform. They prefer to have a system that's totally secret, totally unregulated. And there are other interest groups that oppose campaign finance reform. The teachers union, WEAC, has opposed the impartial justice bill, too. It's not just a Republican phenomenon. It's the very groups that have their claws in Wisconsin politics and continually they usually do best during the state budget process or with legislation. And so that's why they like things the way they are. And so they go all out to kill all kinds of campaign finance reform. But the interesting thing, Joy, is that now that the legislature and the governor are about to come to an agreement on the budget repair bill, and, of course, the regular session of the Wisconsin legislature is done for the year. Mm-hmm. They're done in early March, done for the rest of the year for the elections. There's one piece of unfinished business. There is still a special session that has not been adjourned, and it's on campaign finance reform. The governor called a special session last November 30th, and it's still an issue that they're going to have to deal with. And part of the special session bill is this Supreme Court funding bill. So it's not dead. And if the legislature thinks we can go home and say we're done, they're not done. It's still very much alive. So that's the unfinished business of the legislature. And obviously it's too late to do anything for this particular race, which will be over on Tuesday. But there is another state Supreme Court race in 1999. We're going to go through this all over again in these very months, January, February, and March, April of 1999, unless we pass the Impartial Justice Bill. Pardon me?
I'm sorry,
2009. Yeah. 1999. It would be the reelection of the Chief Justice, Judge Shirley Abrahamson. She's up for election in 2009, and I assume she's going to run.
Well, let me go back to the phones. We have lots of callers. Jim and Racine, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
One of the things that I, you mentioned that this was despicable, and one of the things that I think is also despicable is that the folks that are airing these ads, it's my understanding that the ads that they're raising aren't necessarily about the issues that they are concerned about.
Yeah.
In other words, the Wisconsin manufacturers are concerned about liability, but they air commercials about
crime. Yeah. It's interesting how the state's largest business group and the state's largest teachers union have both become experts on crime, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, of course, the reason they do that, Steve, as you know, is, Jim and Racine, is that those are hot button emotional issues. A lead paint case sounds kind of dreary. So rather than concentrate on that, instead they concentrate on child molestation and rape and all the rest. These are hot-button, inflammatory issues, which serve no other purpose other than to just raise people's emotions and get them turned off, no matter what the facts, by the way.
If we know, though, that WEAC and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce are funding some of these outside ads, knowing that hasn't stopped those two groups from putting these ads on the air.
Well, the difference is, WEAC actually is a little different case. They run what are called independent expenditures. They're not issue ads.
Okay.
Although, my gosh, I would be ashamed if I was a teacher if having WEAC run the type of ad that they've been running. It's just deplorable, at least in my view. With Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and some of these other groups, Coalition of American Families and the Greater Wisconsin Committee, we do not know who the donors are. They are running the classic issue ads. And here's the interesting thing. You know it's an issue ad when at the end they always have a message like, call Judge Gableman and tell him to be better on this issue, or tell Loophole Louie that he should stop making loopholes. I mean, so they're exhortations to make a phone call. That's when you know it's a so-called issue ad or a phony issue ad. And what's particularly ridiculous about those is you can see a case where you might want to call a legislator and say, let the legislator know about your view on a particular issue. But you don't call judges. I mean, nobody calls a judge and says, you know, here's what we think you ought to do on this particular case. Judges are shielded from public opinion because they're supposed to decide facts on the case. That's the whole purpose of the judiciary. So these ads, virtually all of them, would be subject to disclosure and regulation if the Government Accountability Board does what we think they're going to do, or if the legislature has the guts and the political will to do the right thing and pass the Impartial Justice Bill.
Yeah.
So we'd be spared a lot of this stuff.
Let me get another caller
in.
Mohammed in Madison. Hi, Mohammed.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I plan on voting for Judge Butler. I don't know Judge Gableman, but I knew Judge Butler as both an attorney and as a sitting judge in Milwaukee, and he has impeccable character. But my question is, how is this connected or not connected to the McCain-Feingold bill? And you know,
sure.
That's sort of the question I have. If it was supposed to reform this, it sort of reminds me of W-2. How do we still have this other stuff hanging out here like this?
Mm-hmm. Well, the McCain-Feingold law applied only to federal elections, and this is a state election. And even at the federal level, they were able to pass something that reined in a lot of these phony issue ads and forced disclosure of these outside groups. They did that at the congressional level. Other states have done it. But to do it at the state level for a state Supreme Court race or for a gubernatorial race, it has to be done by the legislature and the governor or by a state agency like the Government Accountability Board. So it's just been a failure of political will over the last 12 years to do anything about this in Wisconsin. And it's a huge gaping loophole in our law that needs to be closed so that we can make some sense of these elections. Yeah. So that's why McCain-Feingold only applies to federal elections, not to state elections.
Jay, I know you want the campaign finance reform things that we've been talking
sure.
about for many years, but what about these proposals now to appoint rather than elect judges? What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I certainly understand these calls, and it's out of frustration. Mm-hmm. Term limits is another thing sometimes people call for when they see the frustration here. I think the main problem with it is that it's not in Wisconsin's tradition. We like to elect everybody, as you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, every office from governor on down. And I just think it would take an extremely long time to even get that process changed. I think this is such a crisis that makes much more sense, I think, to reform the way we have elections. And the Impartial Justice Bill, if we got it scheduled in the Assembly, it would pass, I think, tomorrow. So this is a matter of putting pressure on the political leadership of this state. And, you know, I wish the governor and everybody, the top leaders, would say this is a priority. We can't wait any longer.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks, Jay, for being with us.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.